Father, we thank you so much for who you are, our Father, our Creator. And we thank you because you take care of everything. You are with us all the time, and we are lost without you, Lord. And please help us to surrender our lives to you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take your seats. And kids, it's time for Kids On now. So you can just head towards the door and you'll be directed upstairs. We'll be learning from God's word as well. And for those who stay, you're very welcome and Happy New Year. And I want to add my welcome to Emmanuel's. And it's nice to have you here. It's a great number this morning. And yeah, I agree with him. I wasn't expecting so many people, and it's great to have you here. And my name is Rafa, and I'm part of the staff here. And as I said, it's nice to see you here. And believe it or not, it's 2022. Yes, and what can we expect? So 2020 was a very difficult year. And 2021 was a year full of expectations, and then we just got lost. What about 2022? Is there any hope for joy? Is there any hope for peace? And what if I told you that it is a choice? I won't be talking about positive thinking or any special technique. It comes from the Bible that we can have joy and we can have God's peace with us. This year, 2022, and for the rest of our lives, we can have joy and we can have peace. So I invite you to open your Bible if you have it with you, or your Bible app. And if you don't have, you can just follow with me. As we look at Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 2 to verse 9. But I'm going to start reading from verse 1. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received, you heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the revelation of your word in Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit be with us here this morning, removing distractions and worries and anxieties that we have that may stop us from listening to your voice. Speak to us this morning, Lord, and may our lives be changed. You know what's in our hearts, you know what's in our minds, and please help us to understand your voice. And may your Holy Spirit speak through my life this morning, that it won't be Rafa speaking, but the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what comes to your mind when you read or hear this phrase, the joy of having God's peace?
What comes to your mind? Maybe, oh yes, I should rejoice by having God's peace. Or it is easy to talk about peace when you don't have to deal with my boss. Or even, I dare you to come to my house to find joy or peace. I sometimes don't find my children anywhere. Or, joy, my whole family has COVID today. How can I rejoice? I don't know your situation today, but I hope by the end of this message, you'll be able to answer these questions. Why do we have to rejoice? When should we rejoice? And how can we find joy? Again, I invite you to keep your Bibles open in Philippians 4 or follow with me up on the slide. And when Paul, when he wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in prison. But he was encouraging them. He was guiding them from that place, from prison. He was far, but he wanted to be close to the Philippian church. When we read this letter, we can see that Paul, he thanked God for the partnership that he had with the Philippians. Paul, he instructed them to preach Christ, to advance the gospel, to imitate Christ in his humility. And if you read chapter 3, and I encourage you to do so afterwards, you see that he was instructing the Philippians to press on towards the goal as they waited for Jesus Christ, our Savior, to come. Paul, he considers them as brothers in Christ and also as beloved friends. Look at verse 1. My brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. You just call friends people that you love. You won't call everybody friend. So he's calling them friends. Paul, he was like a big brother, teaching the little ones how to walk and succeed in their walk of faith, encouraging the Philippians to stand firm in the Lord. He really cared for them. And his care brings us to the first of our 3 points this morning. Joy, a Christ-based gift. Paul, he calls the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. He's inviting them to find joy in Jesus Christ. He's not just calling them to be cheerful or happy. He's calling them to rejoice in the Lord. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Joy is much deeper. It's wider and deeper. Happiness is a feeling. And I have to say that you can choose to have joy. But your feelings, you cannot choose. If you are scared and if you are inside a tent and you see the shadow of a bear coming from outside, you feel scared. There is fear. It's not a choice. It will just come. But when we talk about joy, it is a choice. And we'll see as we look at this passage together. So let's have a look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Happiness is based on circumstances. If something good happens to you, you will be happy. If things don't go well, or if these things don't happen, you won't be happy. You'll be unhappy or frustrated. If your happiness is based on your job, imagine that one day you do something amazing. And if you are a doctor and you perform a very good surgery and all your colleagues come after you and say, good job, you're going to be happy. So if you are a student and you perform very well on a test, people will come to you and say, well done. You're going to be very, very happy. If you are a state agent and there is a very old house that everyone wanted to sell for a good price, but no one could do that. And one day, you manage to sell this house for a very good price. You're going to be very, very happy. But what if the surgery is not a success? What if you study very, very hard for your test or exam and you don't perform well? What if you've been trying to sell a house for many, many years or many months, I don't know, and you can't? You'll be happy? Would you rejoice? You're still happy if you don't do these things. If these things don't happen to you, how would you react? The joy that Paul is speaking here in verse 4 comes from God. Rejoice in the Lord. Have joy in the Lord. The difference here is that this joy doesn't depend on circumstances. This joy doesn't depend on things going well. The true joy depends on the presence of the Lord, the presence of God with us. It is satisfaction in what Jesus has done for us. The comfort we have and the comfort we can have by rejoicing in Jesus is that God, He is unchangeable, and Jesus is God. Our friends may change and let us down. You may not succeed every day in your business to feel happy. At some stage in your life, these circumstances or those people, they may change. But God, He's the same, and He will ever be the same. Maybe you have been following Christ for 5, 20, 50 years. Or maybe you are here for the first time or second time, and you are trying to understand if you should follow Him, follow Christ. I want to remind you or tell you that what Jesus has done for us will never change. No one can change what He did for us on the cross, dying and giving up His life for our sins. Rejoicing in the Lord means knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Rejoicing in the Lord means knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you cannot find joy in your life now, if things are too hard for you and you don't see any reason to rejoice, I can suggest two things. The first one, look back. You know when you get those old pictures, old photos that of your childhood or with friends or your old journal, and when you read these things or when you see those pictures, good memories come to your mind. And you can kind of taste the same feelings that you had at that time. It works like that. I encourage you to look back to see what God has done for you in your life. Maybe today things are hard, but if you look back, you see everything that He has done for you, and you can rejoice by looking back. The second thing that I have to say is look forward. Remember or check in the Bible the promises that God has made, and look forward. He's faithful, and He will fulfill all His promises. He gives us hope, so we should look forward and rejoice. Jesus told us that we would have trouble in this world, but we have to take heart. We shouldn't let these circumstances shape our life. And when should we rejoice? Here is our second point. Unity to rejoice always. We're going to see two characters here, two women from this church in Philippi. And we are here at Sword Baptist Church this morning. But for a moment, think that we are part of this church in Philippi, almost 2,000 years ago. And I'm here speaking, you are there, and someone comes through the door with a letter. Rafael, I have a letter from Paul, and he has something to say to us. And I take this letter, and greetings, and he's talking about joy, and he's talking about peace, and he's saying good things, and then, wait for a moment. He talks about two individuals here. Imagine if he mentions Damien and Philip, saying, I know what's happening there. I know that you guys are not doing well. How would you feel? In front of everyone, he mentions your name, saying that you're not doing well with someone. You have a problem with this person. Look, verses 2 and 3. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. There was a situation here between these two of Paul's co-workers, Euodia and Syntyche. And even though he was in prison, this information came to him. It seems to me that Euodia and Syntyche, they were very influential in this church in Philippi. And Paul, he wanted them to have this conflict sorted. According to the information that we have here, they were not troublemakers, and it wasn't anything related to false teaching or any similar thing. It was something trivial, something personal, just a small problem, but it could damage the church. Paul, he highlights at the end of verse 3 that their names are written in the book of life. So it means that they were true believers. It was just a problem of relationship. But Paul saw that it could damage the church and affect the church in Philippi. As we can see here, the church in Philippi wasn't perfect. As I'm sure that Sword Baptist Church is not perfect. As myself and my family, we are not perfect. What about you? Are you perfect? Do you have problems? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you struggle. I'm sure you have some problems of relationship with people. If that's the case, you can see here that the church in Philippi wasn't perfect. There was a disagreement there. As we can find it in our community, in our family, in our workplace. But as we saw on our first point, these situations, they shouldn't take away the joy. And if it happens now to us or with us, it shouldn't take away our joy either. Paul, he is calling the Philippians to live in unity. He knew that it was important for them to stand firm and together. Let's have a look at some verses from this letter from Paul to the Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter to do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Remember, Paul, he is in prison. There were some people preaching the gospel out of false motives. Look what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 19 and 18 and 19. For as I have often told you before, and now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is in their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. 3 verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. What can we see from or understand from these verses here? The surrounding area in Philippi wasn't so friendly. It wasn't a very relaxed place that they could just lower their guard and relax. They had to stand firm in the Lord and together. Paul is showing to them that they had to stand together because the surrounding area was dangerous. This church was being persecuted. They were under attack, and they had to stand firm in the Lord. Paul, he loved the Philippians, and he didn't want to see any gap that could take that could be taken to damage the church. He wanted to see this church united. He dedicated two verses to ask the Philippians to help these two women to sort out this situation. Imagine that we have the whole Bible and two verses talking to these women, asking them to fix the situation, their relationship. It is important. It was important for them, and it is important for us. This was beneficial to the church in Philippi, and it is beneficial to us as well. We can learn from this situation that some differences may arise, but they must be solved as soon as possible. When we see that our brothers and sisters are in any sort of conflict, we should intervene and help them to find a solution, not because we are better or holier than our brothers and sisters, but simply because we love them. Out of love, we should go and help them. The Philippians, they couldn't just ignore the situation, think that it was possible to keep on going. After this warning, Paul, he expected harmony among them and called them to rejoice in the Lord always, even in the midst of some tribulation. Just look back. Remember that Paul, he was in prison when he wrote this letter. And prison is not known as a pleasant place to be. It is normally lonely, nasty, disturbing. But neither Paul's difficult circumstances nor the frightening dangers faced by the Philippians could shadow the Christian joy, a joy that doesn't depend on any circumstances. We, as Christians, we need to let people see our gentleness, not our bitterness. When you come to people and you say that you're a Christian, how do you say that? With a grumpy face, yes, I'm a Christian, yeah. So, or you just smile and say, yes, I am Christian, show your gentleness. How do you do that? If you say, yes, I'm a Christian, they say, oh, I'm sorry. No, it shouldn't be the case. Paul, he could have spent this letter talking about all the problems that he was facing in prison, but he decided to show his care because he knew that there was no time to be wasted, no time to spend with small matters. They should invest their time showing gentleness to everybody, not looking only to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. Paul wanted them to see the Philippians practicing humility. And I'm talking about the Philippians, but he wanted to see ourselves. We can learn from what Paul told the Philippians as well. We should show gentleness to people, show humility, prioritizing those around us instead of ourselves. But not like some people do it nowadays when they post on social media how gentle they are when they are helping people on the streets and they take a selfie to post in and show to everyone that they are doing good things. No, not like that. In a genuine way, showing our gentleness to everyone, allowing it to be evident to all. I don't want you to go home with the idea that if everyone does God good things, if everyone does God thing, if everyone does good things, it's going to be enough. The point here is not about doing good things, but doing the right thing. To find unity in the Lord, to stand firm in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. And we can only do these things if Jesus is present in our lives. Just when we declare that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, as verse 5 says, He is near, so we should take action to regard others more important than ourselves. And how can we rejoice in this fallen world? As I mentioned in the beginning, 2022 can be a year full of joy and the peace of God, but the world is fallen, so many problems, so many hardships, so many struggles and anxiety and stress and many bad things around the world. How can we rejoice? You may be thinking something like, Rafael, I don't really know how to find this joy that you are talking about. It's not easy. But so far, we have seen that joy is a Christ-based gift. And it's not based on circumstances, but based on the presence of God with us. After that, we saw that we should rejoice always, standing firm in the Lord. Let's see the third and last point today. I just came back on my slides. So get there. Nope. There was a problem, but it's fine. Yeah. Prayer. The key to joy. Prayer is the key to joy. Verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. What do you have to give in to have joy? What is preventing you from rejoicing in the Lord? The Apostle Paul, he talks about anxiety here. He was telling the Philippians to not be anxious about anything. Paul knew that they could be fearing for their lives because of the threat of evil men, or concerned about Paul being in prison, or even, as we read on verse 6, anxious about any other thing. Paul's message here is very clear. Be anxious about nothing and be prayerful about everything. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't sleep well. And I go to bed and I just turn to one side and the other and I struggle to sleep. And my wife, she comes to me and said, is everything okay? And what do I say? Of course, yes, things are fine, but I can't sleep. And then she asks, maybe something that you are worried about. And I said, no, I'm okay. Oh, it's okay. But it could be the case. And it's normally the case. There is something wrong, something that I'm anxious about or worried, and it affects my sleep. What about you? Some people, they eat a lot when they are nervous or anxious. They just eat everything that they can. Others, they need to walk, and they keep on walking. Some people sleep. When they are anxious or nervous or stressed, they just go to sleep. What about you? What do you do? Do you know when these things happen, and you know that when you are doing these things, it means that you are anxious or stressed or nervous about something? Paul, here, he's telling them that the way to face anxiety, sadness, hardship, and many other things is to keep praying. The key against all these things, things that let you down or keep you far from Jesus Christ, is prayer. Through prayer, the peace of God will guard our hearts. You just have to pray. You just have to present your requests to God. You need to be honest with Him and say what's in your heart. Say what's preventing you to rejoice in Him, or even say that you don't know what's blocking you to rejoice in Him. Sometimes we just don't know. We know that we are not doing well. We know that we are sad. We know that we are anxious, but we just don't know why. And what can we do? We come to God and we say, please God, help me, because I don't know. Help me to see. Help me to understand. Just help me, because I don't know what's going on. And He will certainly help us. We should pray in every situation. Pray about everything to God. And what will come after that? The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Do you know what I find interesting about this verse? Is that when we want to protect something, we normally think about strong things, a strong shield, a powerful structure. For example, when you want to protect your house, what do you normally do? You build high walls, CCTV, gates, big dogs, just to give you a sense of protection. But here in this passage, instead of saying, and the power of God will guard your heart and mind, he talks about God's peace. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's not about changing the situation. It's not about changing the circumstances. Remember that our joy shouldn't be based on circumstances, but on the Lord that never changes. His peace will change our lives. His peace can change the way we react. The problems may be there, but the peace of God will guard us from anxiety, stress, worries, things that we don't have the power to change, nor power to do anything. When Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, he's not talking about emptying our minds, like so many people are being instructed to do, saying that by emptying your mind, you find peace. No, it's totally the opposite. It's not about emptying your mind. It's the contrary. Paul gives us a list of things that we should think about so the God of peace would be with us. Have a look at verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul, he is instructing the Philippians to, instead of feeding their minds with troubles, worries, and anxiety, they should be thinking about things that would be beneficial to their lives. And we should follow his example. We must put it into practice. And as we conclude, how can we string everything together? Everything that we saw today, how can we put these things together? In this last part of this passage, Paul, he doesn't say, think about these things or consider these things. No. He's calling us to put everything that we learned and heard, received, or saw into practice. Paul, he's calling us to rejoice in the Lord, encouraging us to stand firm in the Lord in unity, showing care for our brothers and sisters, and praying to God, because this is the key to joy. But by following these instructions and putting it into practice, not just the peace of God will be with us, but the God of peace will be with us with his care this year and forevermore. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you know our minds and our hearts better than anyone, better than ourselves. And you know our worries and things that we are uncertain, afraid. Lord, please help us to present everything that's in our hearts to you. Help us to believe that you will take care of everything. Lord, please help us to rejoice, even in spite of hard situations, illness, problems in the workplace, relationship problems. Help us to rejoice. Help us to choose to rejoice, not because of anything that we do or of what we are, but may we rejoice by knowing you, Lord. May we rejoice by knowing everything that you have done for us. May we rejoice by looking at your promises and knowing that you will fulfill everything, knowing that by having you by our side, we don't have to fear. Lord, we don't know what 2022 is reserving for us, but we know that if we walk with you, Lord, it's not going to be a problem, that we will be able to rejoice. And by having joy, we will find your peace in the midst of problems or hardships. We'll have your peace with us, Lord. Please help us to remember this message throughout this year, and help us to share this message with others as well. And help us to rejoice, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the music group